Let it be known that this disclaimer is intended to make it clear any views and or opinions expressed on the Fox Paranormal Chat are just that. Any topics of discussion during a broadcasted show is in no way the exclusive view nor opinion of the hosts or any web video network staff. You're listening to the Fox Paranormal Chat on the Web Radio Network. And now, Michael and Destiny Fox.
All right.
Hey, everybody. It's Destiny Fox here with you tonight.
And Michael.
And we've got one of our newest team members with us. He's actually not new to the team. He was on a leave of absence, and he's accepted a position back with the team. And we are so happy and glad. It's good to have Youngblood with us tonight.
How you guys doing?
Doing good, doing good. And we've got Michelle with us.
Hey.
Hi there. Getting an echo from somewhere, guys.
Yeah. I hear him.
Anyway, we've got a show planned. We're going to talk about a case that we did about 3 weeks ago. It actually involved an elemental spirit. So we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. But first, I want to tell you guys, I had a couple of people send me a message on Facebook Messenger, and they wanted to know how I became a demonologist. Well, I can tell you, I actually took a demonology 101 in spiritual warfare class with Jeremy Leonard. The class is available right now, and it's a 4-week course. It's Demonology 101, and that class he's offering for just $50. And then you can go on and do the next 4 week, which is $50 as well. So you can get a lot of knowledge and a lot of training by taking these two courses. And that's exactly what Michael and I did.
Yeah, we did that. And it was an interesting course.
It really is. And you'll learn a lot, not only about demonology, but, you know, a lot of other things. One thing that I'm studying right now is breaking, what do you call that? Chromatic ties.
Yeah, breaking chromatic ties.
And as y'all can tell, I'm not a good speaker, but I'm really studying that and looking into it now because it kind of relates to a case that we're working on now. And so anytime we come into something new, I want to learn and learn as much as I can about the subject. It's Christmas time. December 1st. Can you believe it already?
First.
Absolutely.
This year is almost gone.
Yeah. We had a friend of ours call us a few weeks back, and a friend of his was going through some stuff in her home. One of her claims was that in her house, you could hear little footsteps. Also, she was locked in her room, in her bathroom, by something, and she felt like it was coming in after her. So she held the door tight. She even took a knife in with her, and she was afraid to be in her own home. Well, after our friend talked with her a while, he thought, well, you know, I've got these friends who are paranormal investigators, and I think I can give them a call for you. Maybe they can help you. So he did reach out to us, and we went out there. Some of the claims we're not going to get into that were pretty much not relevant to our part of the investigation, but it had a feel about the house. It was kind of different. How would you describe how it felt in there, Michelle?
It was definitely different. A lot of times we'll go into locations and we'll have almost a familiarity feeling about it, whether, you know, it's a spirit or, you know, something along those lines. But this was something, truthfully, I've never felt before.
It was very different. Youngblood was also with us there. It did feel a little strange, didn't it, Youngblood?
It did, especially to me. It was more like back of the house felt more different, like a different atmosphere compared to the front of the house.
And I agree with that. Like when we walked through that last doorway into that last room, you could feel the energy shift.
Now in the home, when we first went in the door, was a kitchen, a little dining room area. You go down the hall, and the further you would get down the hall, it's kind of like that's when the feelings started getting off. Just had a different feel to it. It's really hard to explain. It made me feel kind of off balanced. You know, you could tell something was just off kilter.
There definitely was something going on in the house that felt different. I mean, parts paranormal, you know, we did find some stuff later on as we progressed the investigation.
Right, right. We did talk to the client there for a good long while. Our friend actually left the house with her. My train of thought was we investigate out her being there and then bring her back just to see, you know, if there was a difference that we got. And definitely it was. It was very, very active while they were gone.
Yes, it was.
We started the investigation. We actually set up laser grids. And doggone it, we thought we caught something too.
Sure.
Yeah.
We were looking down the hall and all of a sudden it looked like a face at the end of the hallway. And I'm like, look at this. And but we debunked that very quickly. We actually, it looked like a face popped up on the very end of the hall on the wall and then disappeared. But you just have to know us. We had to debunk it. So we sent Youngblood out in his car to ride up and down the road. And we were able to recreate that. So we didn't get a face at the end of the hall, but we did catch some good car lights.
We sure did.
But yeah, it was the same effect that we caught on the camera too. So it definitely was debunked on that particular instance. Now, we did interesting things during that night. You know, I think everybody's anxious to talk about the piano key.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
That was fantastic.
Nearly drove herself crazy trying to find out what that was.
Well, I heard it with my ears when it happened. And, you know, it was just such a, I can say the word again, familiar sound, because, you know, Destiny plays the piano as well as the keyboard. And so we're always hearing notes from pianos and the keyboard. But this was like it was the very last key on a piano. And it, I mean, it had the little ting to it and the reverb after. It sounded just like a piano key.
It did.
You know, we pretty much tried everything we could find in the house to try to recreate that sound, and we were not able to get quite on there.
I mean, Youngblood, y'all searched this out all through the house.
Mm-hmm.
They found a bell. They tried to ring the bell. Youngblood found a little kid's piano in a toy box.
Yeah.
Hit every note on there. Could not recreate that sound. And that's about the only thing that we could not lay to rest. So what it was, we don't know. We don't know. There was a little infant carrier in the back. It had, what did it have on it? Like some bells? Mm-hmm.
Yes, it had some bells and like little baby baby toys, baby sounds, but nothing that we did created that sound.
Right.
Well, I mean, even the children's piano we found in the toy box, didn't even come close, because that little piano sounded more like a xylophone sound than it did a piano.
True.
Yeah, and I pressed every key on that thing, and that sound wasn't even close.
No, it wasn't. I mean, I think Michelle kept replaying the sound, and every time I heard it, I'm positive it was a key. It sounded like a high E.
It sounded like high something, but yeah. We couldn't recreate it. But we did do some EVP sessions. Again, we had the laser grid. When all else fails, bring out the SLS.
Oh, yeah, the SLS.
That was good.
And we did get evidence with the SLS. We did get some, we did get a stick figure in the living room area. And it was pretty much trying to interact with us for a while there.
It really did. And what drew us to the conclusion of the elemental, a couple of years ago, we did an investigation at Old South Pittsburgh Hospital. And actually, we caught on SLS the elemental spirit on the second floor. Is that the second?
Yeah, it's third floor.
Third floor. We did catch that investigating with us. It was Michelle, myself, some more team members. But at this particular time, it was myself, Michael, Michelle. Leonard, and we were all on that floor. And the funniest thing, Michael was just learning the SLS. I mean, probably what, the first time, maybe?
I think that was like the first real run with it that I had.
Right. And Michael was you could read it. So we didn't get this recorded. And I wish we had. But
you're breaking up a little bit, Destiny.
Okay. Jeremy was in front of us, and we were like facing him, but the screen to the SLS, there's no way he could see. And so he began seeing images of this thing, of something crawling on the floor, which at the same time he said that, then we could see on the screen of the SLS, something crawling on the floor.
Yeah.
I believe it went up the wall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, crawled up the wall.
And
too.
He was describing everything this thing was doing as it was happening on the SLS. So that was pretty much my first time ever interacting with an elemental spirit.
Yeah, but if it was an elemental spirit.
Well, I believe that it was.
Well.
I don't think ghosts crawl on floors and up walls.
No, I don't think they crawl on floors and up walls either. I think they could walk.
Well, maybe
right
they do.
Them.
They can do what they want to, I guess. But I really believe it was an elemental spirit. And so we got that same image at our friend's home there. And it actually was crawling on the floor.
Yeah, it was.
And another crazy thing about this case is we heard a little tapping, like little dog steps running down the hall. Y'all remember that?
I do, because I grabbed a hold of you. I mean, because it was so, like, it was so loud to me, and it was just like the pitter patter. You hear people describe pitter patter, and that's exactly the way it sounded. And you could hear it running up the hallway, but the distance was going away from us. So it's like the further away it went, the quieter it was, you know, on our end. But that was cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
It really was. So, you know, basically when our friend and his friend back, then we begin to tell them about that we experienced.
You're breaking up again. Oh.
Okay, let me see if I can.
It was like every other word. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay. Bad internet night for us. We live in the country. But we did recommend to the client that maybe this particular spirit felt like this was their domain. Maybe they've always been there. We did recommend that maybe she put some flowers out, you know, and or some fruit out for it or something just to make peace with it. And that I know of, I haven't heard anything different. I think everything's been okay concerning that part of our investigation there.
I think the last thing we got from them is everything was a lot better than it was before we did our investigation. And you did do a house blessing.
Right. Michelle assisted me in that. And, you know, I believe she was able to make peace with this spirit. And hopefully she won't have any more problems out of it.
But let's get back on this elemental thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, what are exactly our elementals? If we think we had an elemental, what were we dealing with?
Well, why don't you tell us?
Well,
we're waiting on you. You're the brains of this outfit.
What I've studied in elementals, they're a mythological or they're either mythological and magical creatures. And they really weren't first talked about till about the 16th century. So, and there was, I believe they said there was four main elementals at that time. But we've come across so many different types of elementals over the years that people's reported seeing and experiencing.
Well, of course, they're definitely not spirits that ever lived in human form.
No,
they're not ghosts.
And they're not demons.
No.
So they're like an in-between species.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
It looks like Destiny and Michael may have had a little bit of an interruption. Give them just a second. They'll be back with us. So it looks like it's me and Youngblood. You're still with me?
Yep, I'm still here.
Awesome. So we're going to give them a few more minutes. So Youngblood, in your studying, I know that you and I, we're kind of new to the whole elemental thing. What have you, in just your recent findings, what have you found as far as the elementals are concerned?
So the research that I've done is pretty much what Michael just covered, the four types of elementals, and it goes back to about the 15th-16th century. And there's been a lot of reports, even though it's not really well known, but there's been a lot of reports of elementals when it comes to the supernatural.
True. So he was saying the four main, so that would be earth, wind, fire, and water. Have you delved into any of the others? I mean, it's like the more I would look and research, the more I found.
The only other one I found that I'm still reading up on is environmental, elemental. I'm still been doing some research on that one too.
It's like every time I would hit another page, or I would go to another website or another video, there's another one. There's, you know, the earth, the wind, the fire, the water. And the, of course, you know, the water has the undines, and earth has gnomes, and air is fairy. I mean, it was really cool seeing how everything was able to come through all of that. It looks like Destiny's back.
I'm back.
Yay.
Welcome back.
Quiet.
Thank you. We were abducted by aliens for a minute, but we're back. They brought us back.
I don't blame them.
No, we totally lost connection. It took us a minute to get back in.
So Youngblood and I was talking about the different varieties of the elementals, the earth, wind, fire, and water. And I told him it seemed like the more I would research and the different pages I would go to and videos, I was coming across more. There's the wood elemental, metal, stone, the ethereal. I mean, all kinds of different.
Earth, wind, fire. The list does go on. Some of the articles I read said that there's four different elementals, seven. You know, I think it's endless. And we did an investigation. It was Christmas time, and it's probably been about 4 years ago. It was on the other side of Atlanta, and I remember this house, and prone to investigate alone. But I really felt led that night. I said, Michael, I just want to go down there. I said, you can watch me on the monitor. I said, I'm just drawn down there. Just I'll sit in this chair right in front of the camera. I mean, you can see me. You can get to me if something happens. Excuse me. I remember sitting in that chair, you know, and I'm doing an EVP session. And then something runs across the wall. And, you know, where we were at, it, you know, one would think, okay, it was a rat, but it wasn't. This was probably about a foot tall. And I think I've told you guys about it.
Uh-huh.
And it ran the length of the wall down in the basement. And I have never done another basement since. I don't like doing basements, but I don't know what this was. I mean, I just caught it out of the corner of my eye, turned and looked forward and saw it just scoot across the floor real fast. I don't know what this was, but it was about a foot tall. And it has baffled me ever since. And I think if I had to say I had ever experienced an elemental, that would be one. And then one thing you and I were talking about this past week, we've got a little cemetery that we go to that we keep it kind of quiet, but we call it Blue Light Cemetery. Michelle, why is it we call it Blue Light Cemetery?
There's blue lights that literally are just flashing, and they're not distant car lights. They're not towers. Yeah. They're within the perimeters of this cemetery.
Light close to the ground, up in the trees. It's not lightning bugs. They're not blue. And these, so every time we go out there, we see these things. And then Michelle mentioned to me, Michael, that these could be fairies.
That's interesting.
It really is. And I never thought about it.
Fairies are elementals.
Right. Well, so, yeah. I mean, I was thinking about the last time we was there and the circumstance and the occurrences that took place while we was there. And it was almost like we was drove out. I don't know if it was twice. So I don't know if it was something maybe that was upset with us that we was there, or maybe it was something saying, hey, something's not right, you need to go. But it drove us out twice.
It really did.
It got me to thinking, well, what if that could have been, you know, fairy? What if those are fairy lights that we're seeing?
Right. Well, I've never seen fairies, but I have a friend that made a fairy garden, and she's got it all fixed up. And I believe she said she's seen fairies there.
Is this up north?
No, it's within an hour of here.
Okay. I wasn't sure if it was the same mutual friend from up north, northern Georgia.
No.
Okay. But I mean, that just, the more I was researching the elementals, the more I was just, I couldn't help but think it possibly could be elementals inside that cemetery.
Right. And it could be. I don't, Michael, have you ever had any experiences with anything like this? You've been investigating a lot longer than I have. So you might have a story to tell.
Well, you know, over the years, yeah, I've come across things, you know, that I couldn't explain, that I didn't think, you know, was a spirit of any type, either human or non-human, but, you know, there was something moving around. So, you know, and it's been up in the air what it actually is. Now, the existence of elementals, you know, some people will swear by it, and some people, you know, will say, you know, they absolutely don't exist. But people used to say, you know, ghosts didn't exist until, you know, so many hardcore investigators across the world started getting this evidence that couldn't be disputed. Mm-hmm. And I have seen a lot of evidence over the last few years that is showing, you know, that elementals do exist.
Right. And, you know, you've got ghost hauntings.
Yes.
But there actually is elemental hauntings.
Mm-hmm. I think sometimes when you're dealing with a haunting, or somebody, you know, reports a haunting in their home or on their property, it's not all the time it's ghosts or demons. I think it could be a type of elemental haunting that, you know, that we're having to deal with.
Mm-hmm. Like the one in northern Georgia that the three of us and a couple other team members was involved with. That had to do with elementals as well.
And I believe that it did, because at one point, I remember Michael and I outside, the sky got dark, the crickets stopped. I mean, we live in Georgia, okay? There's crickets.
And cicadas.
They never stop. It's mm-hmm. constant. Let the sun go down and the crickets start. And, you know, and we've got accustomed to investigating and, you know, doing EVP sessions and knowing, hey, that's crickets in the background. But the crickets stopped.
Yeah.
And we began to see like little eyes from up the road and across the road. I have pictures of this. I have pictures of this to prove it. And they're looking at us from everywhere. And I'm like, okay, something is going to get us. This is it. This is our last investigation, because we're not getting out of here alive. But I really believe, you know, that particular part of that investigation was not ghosts. It wasn't demons, but it was something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've noticed a lot of the reports over the years, too. When people are describing the elemental they've experienced, almost every single report talks about them crawling on all fours on the ground or up a wall.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of people say, and I watched a TV show about ghost hunters that actually had a case like this.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the way that they ridded it was, well, they didn't get rid of it, but they did recommend the client leave an offering. Like, you can leave milk, butter,
honey,
yeah, plants,
fruits,
and a tree, you know, apologize and ask the elemental for a peaceful working relationship. Like, okay, we live here. We occupy this land too.
Yeah.
Can we come to mutual grounds? Here's you an offering. I will leave you an offering. And that seemed to help these people. Hang low tone wind chimes around your house, like a warding device. Even hang iron horseshoes around your house. I've actually seen places, and we've been places where I see horseshoes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, now I look at it different. Okay. There's a reason those are there. Ring a bell. Open a window to allow spirits to escape if they're in your house.
Mm-hmm.
Seek to appease it by setting up a garden, planting trees, honoring nature in a big way. Because, you know, these elementals lived here before we did.
Mm-hmm.
And so they feel like this is our land.
And I'm gonna come off of that a little bit. I also read that in Iceland, to this day, there are psychics that are brought in to communicate with the land and the creatures on the land, and they are asked for permission to build roads, to clear land for housing. They have to have permission from the land and from the creatures that reside on the land before they can clear any spot.
Now that is interesting. Very interesting.
Well, that goes along with the beliefs of the indigenous people that was here before.
I was
before
about
us.
To say that.
That's true.
I mean, you know, when you think about it, they had a connection with right. all.
Yeah, they did.
You know.
Well, and it's also true, I think, too, that back before the internet, back before all of this, the modernization of the world that we live in now, it was more... You were more in tune with the earth, with nature, with the environment than what we are now. So, yeah, I think that has a lot to do with it, because now we just go outside. We just walk across the yard. We just drive up the street. We're not as in tune with nature now as the ones before us.
Do you think... You know, over the hundreds of years that man has lived on this earth, that, you know, we've destroyed a lot of the nature, and maybe that's why there's more sightings of elementals now?
Could be, because when you think about it, if they're existing on a property that's a highly wooded area, then all of a sudden, well, heck, there's a subdivision going in here, you know, I believe it makes them angry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, you know, you hear a lot more reports, you know, now about elementals than you used to hear. People are, you know, reporting a lot more sightings. And I think maybe it might have something to do with we've destroyed nature.
I agree with that.
You know, in the of progress.
Right. You know. Well, progress for us is destruction for them.
Yeah.
Right.
It is.
And humans are destroying the earth.
And that's part of, I think, the reason why they're coming out, because they can't believe how careless we are, how destructive we are. And we don't make sense to them, because at one time, Mother Earth was, you know, held in such high regard and respect. And now I'm not saying we as a whole, because I know that there are still people that have, you know, the regard and respect for Mother Earth, but as a whole, I guess is what I'm saying. We don't have the same as what we once did.
Yeah, but it's hard to have respect for us when we're destroying so much around us. Mm-hmm. And for all we know, this is their natural environment. This is their habitat. And we're destroying their home.
Absolutely.
So, you know, they're coming out and they're trying to maybe give us a message that we need to stop.
Oh, probably. Yeah.
I mean, history shows, you know, human beings' own enemy is human beings. We're our biggest enemy.
Oh, yeah.
So how would Bigfoot fit into this? Is Bigfoot
I'm glad you brought that up because I was wondering that as well. And not only Bigfoot, my first thought was Loch Ness Monster.
Exactly.
What if that is an aquatic, the water, maybe that's why it's not seen. And they'll go and they'll do the scans of the Loch Ness and or the lock, whatever it's called, and they don't never find anything. So yeah, it's very possible. Bigfoot, Loch Ness.
Yeah,
I think so.
Talking about so many different types of species here. Bigfoot's supposed to live, you know, in the forest, and the Loch Ness or Nessie, it lives in, you know, in the waters.
Mm-hmm. So you have your earth. And you have your water.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And the air, the fairies.
Fairies, yeah. But yes, mermaids as well.
Exactly.
So there you go, mermaid.
I've never seen a mermaid either. So.
No.
You know, I believe I came close, and I've shared the story several times, and I know everybody gets tired of hearing it, but I think I could have possibly seen a Bigfoot once.
Yeah.
Out at Budapest.
Mm-hmm.
I saw something, and it wasn't walking like a bear on its hind legs. This had a stride to it.
But you also saw this in a location that other people believe they have seen it as well.
Exactly. Exactly. But I'm not 100% sure.
Right.
You know, I'm not sure what I saw. But I did see something.
Well, Michael, let's get the drone. Let's go out and see what we can find. See if we can find Bigfoot.
Yeah, absolutely.
See if we can spot a...
Too far from that area. And I've heard locals around here talk about how they've seen it, but they call it the white thing around here.
Well, this wasn't white. It was dark. If I had to tell you a color, I would tell you black.
But yeah, I think that's the nickname of the white thing, but... They compare it to a Bigfoot type figure around here. They call it the white thing for some reason.
Yeah. I've actually heard of a white thing. So, I mean, there's just so many theories out there what these things could be. And are they real? As far as the Loch Ness Monster, when I was taking the demonology class, I actually had to do, I had to study up a little bit about, who is that? Crawley? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, Crawley, yeah.
I can't remember his first name. But anyway, he actually was a witch. And he lived close to there. And he had started some type of spell. And he never completed it. And so a lot of people think that maybe that's why we have the Loch Ness Monster is to do with this spell that he was trying to cast, that he conjured something up.
Okay.
Possibly, you know, because he was from that area and he was known to do this kind of
spells.
Yeah,
I believe his home was right there at the water.
It was. Yeah,
but he was doing this ritual, and nobody really knows a lot about this ritual, but he did perform the ritual, but he never finished it.
So can you call upon, can you, in the same way that people call upon demons, do you think they're able to call upon these specific elementals as well? If that is indeed what it could be.
Right. It's possible. I mean, that goes real deep, you know, when you think about it, because people are known to summon demons. I prefer, when I'm in trouble, to call upon the archangels, Jesus and God, you know, where other people do call and conjure up other things, whether to help get them wealth or make them fame,
right?
Or to do bad things to other people. Because, you know, if you've got a debt against somebody, well, we can't go and shoot them in the head, because, but, you know, their train of thought is, we can conjure up something to go do our dirty work for us. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, that's probably the biggest reason that they conjure up things. I know years ago, years and years and years ago, a friend of mine decided to conjure up something. Well, we actually did. And it took a long time to get rid of this thing. I mean, it made its presence known frequently, to the point that we had to get someone from the Bahamas to come here and run this thing off. I mean, because, you know, you do this thinking, okay, I'm going to be in control. I'm going to summon a demon, and I'm going to be in control of this thing, and it's going to do whatever I tell it to do. I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
A demon doesn't owe you anything, nothing. And if you call one up, then you're going to suffer consequences for it. I mean, people have horror stories.
Right.
You got these other creatures too that, you know, like the Mothman.
Mm-hmm. True.
Yeah.
And the pig man or pig boy or whatever they called them. Yeah.
It's pig man. And the further you look, every county, every state, they have their own pig man. So what if it is? What if it could be a type of an elemental?
Yeah. Cryptids, elemental. I mean, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Could it be, you know, a creature that's been conjured up?
True.
Exactly.
Is that what we're dealing with? We don't know. But you know, if anybody has any insight to this, they could go onto the chat on the show, and I'm watching, I'm monitoring the chat, and I can get their comments. We have a couple people already in chat. And it would be interesting to hear from some, you know, some other people and see what their insight is on this.
So do you think that, back to the elemental, if they're more interdimensional, or do you think they run off of different, maybe put out different vibrations that we're not completely in tune with? What are your...
Well, I think they're associated with the earth.
Yeah.
And interdimensional, I don't know. I just don't tend to lean that way at all.
Okay.
What is interesting is all these sightings have been in areas like the Mothman. There was a munitions plant there, so there was weapons of mass destruction being manufactured there.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden you have the Mothman.
Possibly sent to stop it.
Yeah.
Because of destruction. Who knows?
You know, that's hard to say. That's up in the air. But there's been so many people reportedly seeing the Mothman. And, you know, there was that disaster.
The bridge.
Yeah. On Christmas Eve, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember reading that story.
Yeah. I saw the movie, too.
So, you know, it's just so many different variances here that we're having to deal with, you know, when we're talking about cryptids. So, you know, like the cryptid we feel like we encountered on that investigation. Mm-hmm. Why would that cryptid be there? That's what we got to look at here and, you know, try to come up with an answer. I think that's the best way we could help a client when they're dealing with cryptids in their homes.
From what I read also, let's take the fairy and the gnome. They're playful and they like to joke and prank. And one of the claims that she had was, I hear my name all the time. What if it's one of them that they think it's funny that they're saying her name and she hears it and she's responding, but they don't realize that it's really aggravating her?
Yeah.
They're just playing.
Possible. But, you know, we've investigated long enough to know that we're not alone here. Mm-mm. I mean, there's other things in existence.
You know, Charles brought up a good point. He's in chat. He said the Jersey Devil.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The list goes on and on and on and on. And then here local, people are starting to report about that werewolf.
Yeah. There's been a lot more werewolf sightings across the world, too. What they're calling
a lot in our area lately. A lot.
It's almost like it's becoming a new frontier in the paranormal field to go that direction and trying, because you're having.
Well, it's new for us. Yes. I mean, you know, we're paranormal investigators. I mean, for years and years, I mean, we're going out and we're, confirming cases of paranormal, or, you know, we're resting our clients at ease. Hey, that was your refrigerator, that noise you hear, or that's your furnace, that's your house settling, that squirrel's in the attic, or saying, yeah, you have a spirit here. You know, so, and for us to have dived in the past 2 years in a lot deeper way of paranormal investigating. You know, I'm always saying, hey, just give me a Casper case any day.
Yeah.
Or grandma that at midnight wants to rock in her rocker and you see the rocking chair moving.
Oh, yeah.
You know, your classic little hauntings. Give me that any day. But we've really got into some deep things.
Yeah.
Some things that we've had to really study up on. It's like, you know, it's like it was meant for us to get particular training just in time. And it's mm-hmm. like when we start studying about something, then all of a sudden we have a case that comes up, the exact thing that we're studying at the time. It's almost like there's another higher power saying, hey, you've got to get ready for this because you're about to dive nose first into this type of investigating. So, you know, and we've evolved with our paranormal investigating, and I'm quite proud of our team, Michael. Every one of them, because, you know, it seems like the deeper we get into it now, they're right there and they're learning and they're accepting these challenges with us.
Yeah, I agree. I'm pretty proud of the team now. The team that we have functioning right now, it's probably one of the best teams we've ever put together.
Exactly.
Youngblood, I mean, he goes back. He was like the beginning, and then he does full circle.
Way beginning. He was before Big Ronnie.
Yes.
Which is his dad, by the way. So lots of hours of investigating with Youngblood and to, you know, see how everybody produced on that last case was good. We were able to listen to the claims of the client. Mm-hmm. We were able to go in and validate or throw out some claims. And then we were able to give a solution,
yeah,
which is what paranormal investigating is all about.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
And Michael's in that room. And he says, most people, this is Charles, people are told from early age not to go out in the dark because something will happen. And now we are just starting to investigate the dark and what could be there. You know, that's true.
Oh, yeah, that's like the ocean. We don't know everything under the ocean. We don't know all of the marine life. So what if there's more?
And new species of fish are being discovered all the time.
Yeah.
You know, so new things are being discovered. I mean, it's just like, when you think you've got the world down and you know everything that's in it, bam, mm-hmm. something new. You know, you learn about something new.
Well, think about being a child as well, especially for little girls. Destiny, I'm sure you're with me on this. When we was little and we like to play outside and pretend and make believe, well, we always pretend, hey, there's fairies or, you know, the different little creatures. But the older we get, the more socialized we get, the more, oh, that's just made up and, oh, that's great imagination. And, well, what if all this really is and we tell ourselves that it's time we outgrow it. So we're no longer able to see these things the older we get.
I want to see some of these things.
Me too.
You know, I really want to experience them. I want to see a fairy. I want to see Bigfoot.
I
want to experience these things.
I definitely would like to see a Bigfoot.
At a distance. At a distance.
And, you know, if a fairy came in front of me, I'd probably try to get an EVP session out of them.
No, you would just watch them fly around because Michael has a little hummingbird feeder on our front porch. And he keeps that full of little food for them all the time. And he just sits and watches those and wonder. You know, so I could see if a fairy flew up there. I could just see you just sitting and just watching it.
Maybe some of them aren't hummingbirds.
And I was just thinking that as well. But I also did, in some of the research that I did, it said that the best time to see the fairy or fae would be low light. So at dusk or at dawn, that whenever the light's not as bright is when our eyes would be more capable of seeing them.
Right. Well, one good thing that I like here at the house is Michael has a camera system set up around the house. And we see some stuff that we would not know is outside our home if it wasn't for the cameras. And mm-hmm. we do occasionally see something that, like, we're like, what the heck is that?
We have.
What is that? You know, we see things that we can't explain all the time. I seen in one of the videos, Michelle, that we've got of our front porch ghost,
uh-huh.
Right before that happens, you can see something with two eyes come across the road and it kind of goes through the grass and then it disappears.
Hmm.
Now, I don't know if it was a snake or what it was, but I mean, you could definitely see two eyes on this and it was low to the ground.
Okay.
And then it gets up close to the house, and then it's gone.
Wow.
You know what's interesting, though, is, you know, as paranormal investigators, you know, we've been investigating paranormal activity or hauntings, you know, for a long time. And we finally got to a point. I read an article just the other day where science is starting to publish articles that they're saying now maybe there is something after death.
Well, duh.
So they're starting to come our way a little bit.
Good.
So, you know, 50 years ago, that article, type of article, never been published.
No. They would have been laughed, you know, completely.
Yeah, they were laughed at. I mean.
Well, scientists look at this thing like, okay, there's a lot, there's got to be a logical reason for this. You know, and so the fact that they've opened up to, hey, there could be something to this paranormal stuff. Yeah. It's just amazing.
It is.
Well, you've had so many people now witness, you know, at when they're in the room when somebody does pass, and then they're talking about the feeling that's in the room, or they're actually seeing something hover over the person.
Right.
Oh, Michelle, mm-hmm. I know something. I know. I get what you were saying, too, about the way up North Georgia case. The TikTok video that we saw.
Yes. The circle and the flowers.
Right. And she said that it was fairies. Okay, mm-hmm. Because just overnight, flowers popped up in her yard.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, just
flowers that are not typically in this area or in that area. In Georgia in general, I don't think they're known. What was they called? I keep trying to say coffin flowers. No,
they were grave flowers.
Grave, okay.
But I don't know the proper name for them. I don't remember.
We have a few minutes.
But I mean, they're popular overseas.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. No.
Or death flowers. Maybe
death flowers. I think it's death flowers.
Yeah.
Exactly what I'm Googling right now.
And the fact that these things were like a foot tall or taller just overnight. Well, she showed one or two popped up in one spot. And then overnight, it was like the whole yard was covered in these flowers. And they were tall. And I know this person personally. Yes. Okay, I know this person. And, you know, this happened. This actually happened.
So it's interesting that a lot of elementals are reported in same areas that we're having reports of hauntings.
This particular flower is known as the red spider lily, the red magic lily, corpse flower, or equinox flower. It is a plant in the amaryllis family, maybe. And it is originally from China, Korea, and Nepal. It was introduced into Japan and from there to the United States.
Interesting.
Spider lilies. Yeah.
Spider lilies.
Kobe just sent me a message. Spider lilies.
Kobe's on chat. Or was on chat. Yeah, he said spider lilies.
They was key to ensure the graves were left alone. People planted the poisonous red spider lily over buried bodies to deter animals. Interesting.
And the fact that these just grew overnight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not just one or two, a lot.
Well, we'd know about that property, so nothing surprises me there. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. We've seen and witnessed it all right there.
Mm-hmm. I think we talk about it dang near daily.
We do. We do. That is like, that is almost daily conversation. And it's something that will stick with me for the rest of my life.
But it was just such a melting pot of everything.
It really was.
Everything.
And the investigation where I believe I saw an elemental, that place was the same way. If you were going to film a horror film, that would be the house you would want to do it in. Because there was evidence of the elemental, a haunting, demonic activity, just the list goes on. And even the client that I don't even know, maybe he was a ghost too, because we would be in one spot and then you know, we would be away from him. All of a sudden, he was standing beside us. It was just the creepiest thing. I mean, he would come up out of nowhere. You would have just seen him in the house. And then all of a sudden, he's right there beside you. Just walking up out of nowhere or appearing out of nowhere. That would have been the house. It had the looks. It had the feel. It had the actual activity going on. And that's also the place Michael and I were put in danger. We were on the monitor. We had a camera on us. But that's also where the client barricaded us in a room with a shovel, and we didn't know it because we were in the dark and we did not know what was going on until we left the room and he started unbarricading the door.
Yeah.
And we still don't know why he did that.
There was a lot of weird things that was happening on that case.
Exactly. So it all goes together. It's all paranormal, whether it's cryptids, ghosts, demons, elementals, the Nephilim.
Yeah.
Which is a story in its own. And I believe that's a lot to do with your elemental spirits right there. That is a deep subject. I remember the first time and if you haven't read about the Nephilim, please Google it. I was listening to a podcast one morning on the way to work. And I've been traveling this road for years and years, going to work, leaving and going home. I was so into that podcast because I had just been introduced on this podcast to the Nephilim. And I'm like, I was so into this that I actually passed my turn and didn't realize it till I was about a quarter mile down the road. I'm like, oh, I was supposed to turn in and go to work. But it was so interesting, and I was so intrigued with this. And even today, I'm just so intrigued with it. So, you know, anybody listening or team members, y'all've got to read about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do you remember when we went to Tennessee and we went off and did that little photo shoot down there where Johnny Cash was said to have went to that cave? Do you remember when we first got there that gentleman was sitting on the picnic table and we all got into the big old long conversation about the Nephilim? Do you remember
yes.
that?
Yes. Yes.
That was really cool.
And he knew about them.
Yeah. And he shared about the same ideas and beliefs that you do on the subject, which
right.
I've never heard of until you brought that to my attention that day.
It's pretty interesting. The Book of Enoch. At least Google that. Oh my goodness. It makes sense. It really does. It really makes sense.
Well, I tell you, I'd love to see some evidence of these elementals. If somebody has evidence and like to email them to us where we could look at them.
Right.
That would be fantastic.
FoxParanormal@gmail.com.
Yes.
And hey guys, our time's running out and I hope you enjoyed the conversation. You can find us on our Facebook page, Fox Paranormal. We're also on TikTok, Michael and Destiny Fox. We run a little group called Fox Paranormal Advertising, where we welcome and invite anybody with a paranormal team, or if you do paranormal events, podcast, whatever, we welcome you to advertise there. Tell us about your team there. You know, ask for likes for your page there if you want. Also have a little group called the Paranormal Fox. And I have fun with that. That's where I post a lot of paranormal things, little cute pictures and funny things. So be sure to check that out as well. We've got some events coming up this year. We're going to be going to Virginia in June, to Strasburg, Virginia.
Paracon.
It's a Paracon. It's going to be amazing. We're going to be there June the, I think it's the third weekend, like the 18th, the 19th or something like that. We're also going to be in New York at Sleepy Hollow Paracon, September 16th. And we're working on a couple of other things right now. Also in March, if you live in the Alabama area, we're going to be doing a paranormal investigation with Jeremy Leonard of 28 Days. And tickets are available. And if you would be interested in that, it's at the Pauley Jail. And that place is absolutely amazing. I believe Stan and Teresa's going to be there. Teresa's going to tell us some of the history of Pauley Jail as much as she's allowed to tell us. It's going to be followed by an investigation from, I think, is it 9:30 to 2 a.m.?
Yes, and I'm looking forward to taking everybody in for an investigation.
Right. We've sold some tickets. That Saturday night is going fast. We have tickets available for Friday night. That is March the 18th and 19th.
Uh-huh. We'll be there at Pauley Jail in Alabama.
Right, or go to Leonard Fox Events, and you can purchase your tickets there. Anything else am I missing?
No, it's just that Destiny's still booking us for Paracons for next year, and if you're at one of them we're at, come by, say hello to us.
Right, right.
We'd love to talk to everybody.
Absolutely. I lost my train of thought. Oh, yeah, yeah. I want to thank our producer, Web Paranormal Radio, and the awesome job that Stan is doing with the podcast. There are several podcasts available through the Web Paranormal Radio. So you guys check out all the podcasts. And I guess that's it for tonight. Youngblood, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it so much.
Yes.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem. Michelle, always a pleasure.
Yes, ma'am.
You've got to help me decorate a tree.
Bad idea.
Sunday. A 9-foot tree.
You didn't tell me all about them footages.
Yeah, we're going to need a ladder.
It's a big one.
And it is so always such a pleasure to join my husband in the podcast.
Oh,
and I love with everything within me. So till next week, guys, peace and love from Fox Paranormal.
Absolutely. Good night.
Bye.
Good night, guys.
All right.
Okay, thank you, Stan. Talk to you later. You too. Bye-bye.